This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. And we're joined as well by VPR's Bob Kinzel today. Now, before the polls even officially opened this morning, some as early as 7 a.m., more than 260,000 Vermonters had already voted. Bob Kinzel, there you are.
Here we are. How are you doing, Jane?
I'm great. How are you this evening?
Good. You know, you talked about all those Vermonters who have already voted. That's 80% of the total votes in the last presidential election in 2016.
Wow.
And town clerks around Vermont have been reporting a steady stream of voters coming in today to vote in person or hand off their completed ballots. So it's really been a huge turnout today.
Yeah, it remains to be seen whether it's a record. We may be able to get some information about that later this evening. I certainly hope so, Bob. And, you know, it's also pretty remarkable. Polls closed officially at 7 across the state. And within 1 minute, the AP had called the presidential race in Vermont for Joe Biden. That won't come as a surprise to most Vermonters, but the speed at which it came might be a little bit of a surprise.
Well, you know, we've noticed this in the last couple of presidential elections. There are some polls being taken when voters come out of the voting booth. Although this year, as you mentioned, so many people voting early that it made those kinds of polls a little bit less reliable. Nonetheless, I think folks felt very strongly that Vice President Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential candidate, was going to win in Vermont. And it was just a matter of, was it going to be 2 minutes or 3 minutes after seven before it was announced?
Yes, officially 0% of the precincts have reported, but the AP is calling it a win for Joe Biden. Bob, we heard earlier in our live Vermont edition at 1 from one Vermont voter who said he had filled out all of his ballot except the governor's race, and he did that in the parking lot before he went in and handed his completed ballot to his town clerk today. It sounds like, for him at least, that was the race that he just couldn't decide on until the last minute.
Now, that's what we call an undecided voter.
Yes, it is.
But there are people who make up their minds when traditionally people would go to the polling places. I've known of people who have made up their minds in the booth at that moment. It's like, back and forth and back and forth. Okay, this is the way I'm going to go.
Bob, first up tonight, let's talk with Annika Ringen. Annika is in her second year as an undergraduate at the University of Vermont and studies remotely right now from her home in the Northeast Kingdom. And she's also a student reporter with the Community News Service, an internship program that partners Vermont student journalists with local community papers. So in collaboration with the Burlington Free Press, the Community News Service deployed 50 student journalists to report across Vermont this election day. And among them was Annika, who talked to voters in Barton, St. Johnsbury, and Linden. Annika, nice to have you on Vermont Edition. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Busy day to be a reporter.
Yeah, no kidding. What did it feel like? We heard earlier today from Liam Elder Connors that he said, oh, the mood just felt different. It was quieter. Now, I don't know if you've had experience going to report at polling places in the past, but, you know, what was the sense you got from the towns you visited?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't quite as bustling as I would believe a normal polling day would be, but two of the three places I went to, St. Johnsbury and in Barton, I arrived just as the polling places were open because St. Johnsbury opened at 8 and Barton opened at 10. So I was able to get there just as the polls were opening, and there was a pretty big line outside the door of people waiting to get in. So it was a bigger turnout than I was expecting, but also not nearly as hectic as a normal election.
Wow, that's remarkable that there was already a line when you got there at 8 and 10 for the respective polling places starts, that people were there and ready to go when the polling place opened.
Yeah, we were definitely trying to, the point of sending out all these reporters was to kind of get a feel for why people were choosing to vote in person and, you know, be there and wait in line in almost a crowd. Like it's a good number of people that are there. So we wanted to kind of get a sense with, under this current circumstances, why people would even choose to be there and choose to show up and vote in person when they were given the option to vote by mail.
So what did people tell you about why they were there?
What I got a sense of from my personal experience and also just by people across the board with what other reporters were finding was it was usually a combination of two reasons, and that would be like a sense of patriotism. People thought it was more patriotic to go and to vote in person, in a sense of it's sort of like a tradition thing where this is how they've always voted, and they feel more comfortable voting in person, and they feel like it's a service to their country when they go and vote in person. And then the other thing was people weren't as trustful in the postal service to get their ballots to the town clerk or to the municipal office. So people felt a little bit more comfortable and confident being there in person. It seemed, I would assume it would seem a little bit more tangible to be there in person and to hand your ballot to the town clerk than it would be to just send it through the mail and not really have an idea of what was going to happen to it. So I think there were a combination of like patriots and skeptics who were there because they just felt much more confident in the in-person voting system.
Did people tell you who they were voting for in some of the key races, or were they reluctant to reveal their choices?
Yeah, the three people I ended up having really good conversations with were pretty enthusiastic to tell me who they were voting for. I had one woman tell me she was voting for Trump, and then the two others told me they were voting for Biden. The woman who told me she was voting for Trump said this was only her second time voting, and that her first time voting was in 2016 when she also voted for Trump. And then so this year, voting again for Trump, she was telling me that she feels even more confident voting for him now than she did then. And she's about to turn 52. So it's a big deal for her to just start voting in 2016 at that age and to put so much confidence in Trump. So she was pretty confident with her decision to do that. And then the second person I talked to, who I spoke with in Linden, told me she's pretty enthusiastic about voting for Biden. She seemed to say that that was the right choice, although she also mentioned that she loves all the people in her town, just like no matter who they ended up voting for, and thought Linden was doing just a good job overall with their polling places. And then the third person I talked to in Barton said that she felt Biden was the only choice because she wasn't comfortable with the Trump administration. So out of those three, they were not really at all reluctant to tell me who they voted for. They were pretty excited to disclose that information and to tell me why they were voting.
Did either or any three of the three of them tell you who they were voting for governor? Were there any ticket splitters?
No, they hadn't mentioned who they were voting for governor. I think the big thing, I got a sense of the people who were there to vote really had in their mind, like, Biden or Trump was the big thing they were going into the election thinking about. So it seemed like the governor's race didn't occupy too much of people's attention. Like, as a reporter, when you go up to someone and ask, oh, who are you voting for, they're already thinking about the presidential election. So that was interesting to see that no one really mentioned the governor's race, even though that would be a pretty interesting one to talk about in Vermont, which is normally a very liberal state, and yet we have an incumbent Republican governor. So I thought it was interesting that not as many people really thought about that when thinking about who they're going to vote for.
Well, it's really interesting to hear what you discussed with voters, and I appreciate your reporting and the time that you're giving us tonight. Annika, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Annika Rinyan is a UVM student and a reporter with the Community News Service, an internship program that partners Vermont student journalists with local community papers. And we will link to Annika's reporting on our website, vpr.org. Bob, more results starting to come in. Can you update us on what we know so far?
Absolutely. As we mentioned right at the top of the hour, the Associated Press has called the presidential race in Vermont for Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, so he gets Vermont's three electoral votes. AP has also called our congressional race for the incumbent Peter Welch. That is for him now going to be 8 terms in the U.S. House. And on the phone with us right now is Howard Weiss-Tisman, who is the Southern Vermont reporter for VPR, and he's going to talk to us about this congressional race. Hey, Howard, great to have you on tonight.
Hi, Bob.
So we had the Associated Press call this race. This was sort of a quiet race this year. What did you make of it?
Well, I guess it has been most of the time that Peter Welch has run. I look back over his past election since 2006, And he's won handily pretty much every year. So I think at this point, it's going to be interesting to see just how much of a percentage of the vote he does get. As you say, the Associated Press has called it. I'm looking at the Secretary of State site. Still not much reporting there, so I'm not quite sure what the AP is going on. But I don't think it's a big surprise that Peter Welch is going to be reelected for another term.
And Howard, was this a race? It didn't seem to be on a lot of people's radar screen. We had a lot about the race for governor and certainly the race for lieutenant governor. But the race for the U.S. House seemed a little bit further down the list for a lot of people. Were there some clear issue differences between the candidates here?
Well, I think there were clear issues. Peter Welch runs as a strong Democrat, as he usually does. His opponent, Miriam Berry, I think, was a anti-abortion candidate, and that's what she was running on for the VPR debate that they had. So what I'm going to be looking for as the numbers come in, it'll be interesting to see, with so much focus on this race, both at the statewide level with our governor's race between Phil Scott and Zuckerman, and all the interest, of course, from the presidential level. It'll be interesting to see how that all sugars off and how much of a vote Peter Welch does get. I'm going to interview him later on tonight, and I'm going to talk to him a little bit here about what his priorities are. And I'm kind of wondering how he's going to, I mean, I don't think that we're going to have the results when I speak to him at 7 or 8 o'clock, but it'll still be interesting to hear what his priorities are heading back to Washington next year under another 4 years of President Trump or with the Biden administration.
And certainly Peter Welch has a fair amount of seniority in the U.S. House. We see him on a number of important committees, including oversight and intelligence. Howard, just in the event that Joe Biden does win the presidential race and the Democrats win the Senate, it could really put Peter Welch in a real leadership position in the U.S. House.
Well, it could be, and I was just looking at some other reports. I think the Democrats are feeling pretty good about retaining control of the House. There's even some reports saying that they might even be stronger going into the next term. And I know that a big priority, of course, is going to be the continuing COVID aid. It will be interesting, certainly, if Biden wins and the Democrats control the House and the Senate, what's going to happen to the relief package. I'm sure that's going to be one of the priorities that they're going to be looking at when they get back to Washington.
VPR Southern Vermont reporter Howard Weiss-Tissman is covering Vermont's lone congressional race for us. Howard, thanks for your report tonight.
All right. You're welcome, Bob. I'll speak to you later.
Yeah, interesting to see what Howard's following there, as Peter Welch has been declared the winner in Vermont by the AP. Let's talk to some Vermont voters, Bob, and see, you know, what's gone into their thinking today and throughout the campaign season. Let's go to Jackie, who's on the line with us from Brattleboro. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. So apparently you didn't vote until almost the very last minute in this entire election season.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would have even let it go longer, but I was afraid I would just forget altogether, and that wasn't going to be good.
So what time did you vote today?
About 5:02 or 5 after 5.
Wow. And so, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I couldn't decide. You know, Scott has been doing such a fantastic job, and it was hard for me to not vote for him. But, you know, it was the environment. I just couldn't kind of let the environment go. So, so I just had to go for, I had to go for Zuckerman. A friend of mine is going to send him, Scott, a very nice thank you note. I may do the same.
So, Jackie, it was the gubernatorial race that had you feeling sort of stumped and a little bit stuck. Were you set on some of the other races, whether they were your local state Senate and representatives or even the presidential race?
Oh, yeah. Everything else was set. Everything. I mean, I'm from Brattleboro, so, you know.
Meaning what? Meaning you think of yourself as a lefty, a liberal? Is that what I'm to read from that comment?
Yeah, pretty much. There was no contest anywhere else, you know. Everything was just straight Democrat, that's the way I go. But I was seriously considering, voting for Scott again. I didn't vote for him last time, but, you know, putting him in again, but it was purely on the COVID response. And the other thing was, just before I went in, which made it even harder, I had to like slow down and walk very slowly in because I heard that he actually finally did say that he voted for Joe Biden, and because I listened to VPR. So I was like, it's just a little too little and a little too late.
Jackie, that's so interesting to hear from you about, you know, how you were hemming and hawing on that race only and really waiting until almost the last minute today. I really appreciate you telling us a little bit about your thought process as you went through this. And Bob, Jackie mentioned that Phil Scott did, as promised, finally say who he voted for. But he also waited until almost the last minute to reveal that he did, in fact, vote for Joe Biden, which is a pretty remarkable statement from a sitting incumbent Republican governor in the U.S.
Jane, it really is. And here are a couple of quotes that I find absolutely remarkable. This is Governor Scott talking to reporters right after he voted in Berlin this afternoon, late this afternoon. This is a quote. "I had to do some soul searching. It wasn't enough for me not to vote. I had to vote against something. I had to put country before party, which wasn't an easy thing to do in some respects. You know, President Trump has had 4 years to unite this country and has failed to do so. And that's my biggest concern. We need someone who can pull us together." And speaking about Joe Biden, he said, "I think he can heal this country."
Wow, that is remarkable. And I think he said, Bob, he's never voted for a Democrat for president before. Is that right?
That's right. And 4 years ago, he wrote in the name of Jim Douglas, former governor. There were some people, some other Republican governors in the country who this year announced that they were writing in Ronald Reagan. And Phil Scott said at one of his press briefings that he had no intention of voting for someone who was dead. And this was a time that he felt, instead of writing in perhaps Jim Douglas's name again, he needed to take a more positive stand. And when he said, you know, "I don't agree with Joe Biden on many policies, but I think he can heal this country." And I think that that was the absolutely most important thing for Phil Scott when he cast his ballot for president today.
Wow. And I think Scott Milne did say he was going to write in Jim Douglas, or he did say he was going to write in someone, right? He wasn't going to vote for Trump, but he also wasn't going to vote for Biden.
That's correct.
Bob, a few results. We can just keep recapping the ones that are known, but there are others that are coming in for more local state races as well.
That's right. And some of the other races that we'll be looking at in some of the Vermont House and Vermont Senate races, we have multiple towns in the districts. And so we're getting some partial results, but we really need to wait to get all the towns in those districts before we can make any conclusion about who has won those races. But there is no doubt that Peter Welch has been reelected to the U.S. House and will now serve another term. It will be his ninth term. And also that Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden has won Vermont. It probably will end up winning probably something like 60-65% of the vote when all the ballots are counted. And another thing we should mention is that we'll probably see a record for ballots today in the state of Vermont. We saw that huge influx of early ballots, and they were told by a number of town clerks that they anticipated kind of slower, a steady stream of voters today. And, you know, the people came out. There are a number of people, and we talked earlier in the program about it, who feel very strongly that it's their civic duty to go down and vote on Election Day itself. It's a tradition that they want to keep. And so it's alive and well in Vermont.
Let's go to some of our callers. Paul is with us from Burlington. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. So tell me a little bit about your experience.
I voted in person today. It was really no contest for me for the presidential candidate. I voted for Joe Biden. But kind of last minute, in the last week or so, I had a good conversation with one of my friends.
Oh, Paul, we've lost you. Are you back? Let me see if we've got you.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah. Continue.
Hi. So I don't really know where I got cut
you're
off.
You were talking with a friend.
I was talking with a friend who works in the renewable energy sector, and he really kind of swayed my opinion. I was going to vote for Phil Scott, but I feel like he has had a lot of inaction in the climate change aspect of, governing our state. And I think, Zuckerman has shown a little bit more promise in that, area.
Well, thanks for sharing your perspective and how you voted. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Jeff in Springfield. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jane and Bob. Yeah, I was very pleased to hear Phil Scott say today for the first time he voted for a Democrat, because I have to admit, for the first time today, I voted for a Republican. I voted for Phil Scott because of the way he handled the coronavirus.
So you voted for him before you knew whether or not he had voted for Biden. Is that right?
That's correct.
But you were pleased to hear that he did vote for Joe Biden?
Yes, I'm very pleased that he did. Yes.
Do you think, not that you would know, Jeff, but do you think that a lot of other voters who typically vote, fairly straight party line for the Democrats or maybe Democrats and progressives will have gone the same way that you did? Have you talked with friends who said, I really appreciate the way Phil Scott has handled the COVID-19 crisis and I'm going to vote for him?
I haven't. But, I think that he has done a great job with this administration in handling the COVID. And so I decided, in Vermont, we vote for the person, not for the party. And I just decided it was time to support our governor.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for letting us know how you went in this election, strange election. Appreciate your perspective and hearing from you. Charlene is calling in from Brandon. Charlene, what was important to you in this election season?
The governor's race was important for me, and I voted early, and I very proudly cast my vote for Phil Scott. I thought, first of all, I've been hearing, as I've been listening to you folks this evening, that the number one reason that people seem to be voting for Phil Scott has been his handling of COVID-19 in the state. Phil Scott, being a businessman, knows how to handle money responsibly. And I felt that, he's worked well with our congressional delegation, which happens to be all Democrat, but we've done, they've all worked together really well. And Governor Scott certainly has the ability to, cross party lines and talk, and try to do as much as he can to help. He has helped, a lot of small businesses. I know that he took a lot of heat in the beginning with the employment issues and unable to get unemployment. And I think when all of this happened, the curtain was drawn back and we realized that, for several years, and we probably needed a computer update, if you will, here in the state of Vermont. I don't have anything against the environment, but listening especially to Dr. Fauci and knowing what we're looking at ahead for COVID-19, we've done very well. We have lost 59 souls in this state. And
58, I think, Charlene.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's 58. I misspoke. That is correct. He's just done very well. He's been very cautious, but we're opening, and I think he's been a good leader in just bringing us through this and keeping us up to date.
Well, Charlene, I appreciate hearing your thoughts on the governor's race and how important that was to you. Thanks very much for calling us tonight. Bob?
You know, Jane, I think the comments we heard from Jeff and also from Charlene really underscore the fact that this campaign for governor was dominated by the COVID-19 pandemic, even as much as Democratic gubernatorial candidate David Zuckerman wanted it to be about the issue differences that he has with Phil Scott. It just didn't work out that way, and it was really out of his control. I think Zuckerman ran a very good issue-oriented campaign. He talked about paid family leave, raising the minimum wage, climate change, the environment, expanded child care, access to higher education, using some of the rainy day budget funds if necessary so there weren't severe human service cuts. But in the end, as Jeff and Charlene both said, Phil Scott's handling of the pandemic was really something that affected them. And, you know, we had Vermont listed by Dr. Fauci as being, you know, one of the best states, if not the best state in the country. We look at the map now of the spike in many parts of the Midwest and also in the South. And even though it's going up a little bit in Vermont, Vermont is doing much better. It has a very low positivity rate. So when you think about what was going to dominate this race, this is something that nobody could see, let's say, last town meeting. They had no idea that COVID was going to be this kind of issue, and the pandemic would strike so many people in so many personal ways that it would really overshadow all the other issues in this campaign.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Let's turn to another VPR reporter now, John Dillon. He's here for just a few minutes because we still don't know much about these results, but we're going to talk with him a little bit about the lieutenant governor's race. Hi, John.
Hello, Jane.
So, you know, as you well know, this is considered the most competitive statewide race in Vermont, and people who really like horse races have been following it pretty closely. But it's kind of interesting that this is the race that people have been following or watching with bated breath because it's a part-time gig that doesn't come with a whole lot of responsibility except presiding over the Senate. So why do you think it's gotten so much attention?
Well, a few reasons. I mean, it's an open seat with two very strong candidates. And lieutenant governors often go on to become governors. Phil Scott, for example, Howard Dean, Madeline Cunin, and the current lieutenant governor is trying to be the governor. So there's that succession aspect of the position. But then there's the stepping stone factor here. Openings are rare in Vermont politics. They really can get pretty ossified, especially at the congressional level. You know, one U.S. Senator, Patrick Leahy, has been in office for 46 years. Sanders was elected to Congress in 1992. So these things don't open up. And if one of these two candidates for lieutenant governor, Scott Milne or Molly Gray, is going to be in a position to step up the political ladder at some point, and that's really what the party sees. That's possibly what the voters see in this race is not just the current race, but down the road. And I know that's the case for Molly Gray because people are looking at the fact that Vermont has never elected a woman to Congress. And maybe if she wins, that could be an opening for her at some point. So that's why she's drawn a lot of support from Democrats.
Do you think whoever doesn't win, whoever loses this contest, also has a significant visibility in the state and could also see some ability to sort of climb the ladder even if they don't get the lieutenant governor position?
Well, the winner obviously becomes a standard bearer. The person who loses, you know, I think for Gray, an honorably run race and you know, a close finish, she survived. She ran a really good primary. With Scott Milne, it's hard to say that this is his third race, and it's hard to say that a third loss would be the charm for him because he ran for governor in 2014. You'll remember the night that race was called for Peter Shumlin, and actually Scott Milne came very, very, very close to an upset. But then he ran against Patrick Leahy and got trounced. So this is sort of, I would think, make or break for his political career.
Yeah, it's interesting to note. John Dillon, we'll be talking more with you throughout the evening as the results come in. Thank you very much for talking with us, you know, in this early, early hour after the polls close.
Sure.
That's VPR's John Dillon.
We're going to hear now from VPR reporter Pete Hirschfeld. Pete's been following the governor's race this summer and fall between the Republican incumbent Phil Scott and the Democratic progressive challenger David Zuckerman. Pete, thanks for being on the program tonight.
Always good to be with you and Jane, Bob.
Oh, that's great. So, Pete, what's the overview of this race? How do you look at it?
You know, what's struck me is looking back to January when David Zuckerman announced his candidacy and how different the political climate was when he made that announcement to where we find ourselves now. Bernie Sanders was one of the front runners, if not the front runner, for the Democratic nomination for president. There was this sense among progressives and Democrats that this had the potential to be a real change election up and down the ballot. And David Zuckerman, who is a well-known Bernie Sanders protege, thought he was going to be able to harness that energy in ways that were going to propel his candidacy. As you mentioned earlier, Bob, the pandemic changed everything. The issues that David Zuckerman wanted to focus on, things like economic inequality, climate change, lost some of their salience, I think, in the face of this deadly pandemic that was suddenly bearing down on Vermont and the rest of the country. And Phil Scott hasn't just managed this pandemic. He's overseen one of the most successful COVID-19 mitigation strategies in the country. And this coronavirus, it reshaped the policy landscape in ways that did not play to David Zuckerman's advantage. And it also made it really difficult for him to mount the kind of vigorous voter outreach that a challenger needs to engage in to unseat an incumbent, which historically is an incredibly difficult thing to do.
And Pete, also, Phil Scott has made no surprise about his feelings on President Trump. He's been a critic of President Trump's right along. How does that factor into this race?
You know, if you had to pick the highest profile critic of Donald Trump in the state of Vermont, I think it would be Republican Governor Phil Scott. And I think that's been critical to his reelection strategy. Vermont demonstrated in 2016 that it, by and large, is not a supporter of President Donald Trump. I think the spread between the vote for Clinton and Trump in Vermont was greater than in any other state but Hawaii. So Vermont voters do not support the Republican president. And there's some concern, of course, in Phil Scott's team that that had the potential to taint Scott by association. You know, they both have the R next to their name. Phil Scott has really gone out of his way to convey to Vermonters that, yes, I'm a Republican, but make no mistake, I don't just have concerns about Donald Trump's performance as president. He's made some really stinging critiques and indictments of Donald Trump's performance as president. And as we heard from some of the voters that you talked to earlier this evening, I think that's gone a long way toward making people who are more accustomed to voting Democrat for governor cast a ballot for Phil Scott.
VPR's Pete Hirschfeld, we look forward to your reports later in this evening with the results from the gubernatorial race. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Before we go to a break here, Bob, let's go to Julia calling in from Burlington. Hi, Julia. How are you feeling this evening?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, regardless of who wins in all the races tonight, I am just feeling like our country needs a really deep change. So I'm looking forward. I'm really interested in what we can do to heal our political culture. I have a lot of friends and people in the community who are just so, they're so full of pain, they're so anxious, they're so scared, you know, be it financially, be it because of their identities being attacked. And I think that the way our two-party system runs doesn't serve us. I would love to see, I'd love to see us at least get something like ranked choice voting, like what they have in Maine, to really shift how politicians have to interact with voters. And I also think it's important for people to realize that, you know, voting is one way to be political, but there are also a lot of other ways. And people who feel kind of disenfranchised by the vote you know, I would love to see them explore those other ways too.
Well, Julia, thank you very much for sharing that and how you're feeling and how you hope to move forward no matter what happens at the end of this evening. I think that's probably a sentiment a lot of people share. We do know that the AP called very early on, called the race for president in Vermont for Joe Biden. And we also know that they called the U.S. Congress race for Peter Welch. There are some of the state races coming in for House and Senate, and we'll compile those. We'll give you a full rundown of those. You can find them all as they're coming in at vpr.org. And Bob and I will talk about them throughout the night as well. But let's go first to John, who's calling in from Barrie. Hi, John.
Hey, Jane. Hi, Bob. I slipped my ticket. I kind of absorbed about 5 books on Bob Woodward's and Mary Trump. The slow death of democracy, the way to kill democracy is to poison the news and the people who don't wind up not having the ability to discern.
So, John, in consuming those books, were you somebody who thought you might support Donald Trump? But it sounds like from the books you read, perhaps you went the other way.
I grew up in New York. I was aware of Trump's scallywag, deny, delay, performance on his buildings, on his hotels, you know, on his college, on his perfume, on his liquor. When he came into the presidency, I have a degree in psychology.
John, I'm going to interrupt you, but only because we know we have a limited time with the Secretary of State, so I want to make sure we get some time with him as well. But I'd love to know, you know, the sort of end result of all your research and all your thinking. What did it lead you to in the polls?
Oh, well, I voted for Phil Scott. I love the way he handled the COVID-19. I voted for Joe Biden because he's a uniter, and Donald Trump is a divider and a liar and a neurotic narcissist. And just, it made me ashamed to be an American.
Wow, John, it's striking to hear you say that. It made you ashamed to be an American, and you voted for Biden and for Phil Scott. Thank you for sharing your perspective with us, and I'm sorry to cut you off there. But, Bob, we've got a lot to do in this hour. We're going to keep talking after the 7 o'clock hour as well. But while we have everybody here in our live call-in show, you know, got to make hay while well, it's dark now. You know what I mean.
Yes, I do. And actually joining us right now, Jane, is Secretary of State Jim Condos. Secretary Condos, thanks for joining us tonight.
You're quite welcome.
So coming into this day, Secretary Condos, there was concern. How is this going to go, the voting? We saw this more than 250,000 people cast early ballots. Was this going to overwhelm towns? How would the voting go today? Can you give us an update on how things have gone?
Well, we think that things have gone very, very well. I guess the old adage, no news is good news. It went smoothly today, and now we're into the ballot or the vote collection status. And if you go to our website, you can actually start to see the results starting to come in. It refreshes every 5 minutes, but you can start to look at it from federal, state, Senate, House. This is what it's all about. For us, this is our Super Bowl. This is what we focus on for the whole year. And as soon as this year is over, we'll start planning for the next one. But this is really what it's about. And we're so gratified that so far, knock on wood, everything has gone very smoothly.
Secretary Condos, this is the first year that all active registered voters have been sent a ballot for the general election. You had the authority to do that on a one-time basis. Is your sense that voters like this system, and would you like to see it in place 2 years from now?
Well, you know, that's not a decision for me to make. That's one that the legislature will have to debate and decide. And we'll just provide the information that they need from us as far as costs, what we may need back end to improve on it. As I've said to you before, Bob, we plan on holding a kind of a debrief with many of the town clerks to talk about what worked, what didn't, what can we do to improve. And it's just a constant learning process. And, you know, from year to year, there's always something new that we add anyway. And this is just one of those things. You know, the vote by mail concept is really a just provides the voter with an additional option. And as you saw, the numbers were there, over 262,000 people actually voted by mail and got their ballots back to the town clerks. And we think that Vermonters embraced it, and we'll go from there.
So, Secretary Kondos, you were saying last night your office was tweeting out and getting the word out that it was over 260,000. Now you're saying 262,000 voted by mail. So did you have some people who dropped things off at their town clerk's office overnight or brought their ballot even before the polls had opened? How are you calculating that now?
So it's a very fluid process. And in fact, people who bring their ballots to the polls today will also be counted. But it's you know, when we provided the information yesterday, it was at 4:30 in the afternoon. The clerks were still working on processing the admin side of their receipts of ballots. So it went well into the night, and we were not surprised to see an increase by this morning because just of the way the process works.
Do you have a sense yet of whether or not you think Vermont has broken a record for voting this year?
We don't. I would say we're probably aligned to be in good shape. The towns that have reported so far have all been over, pretty much over 70% for turnout. So we suspect that we will have a very high turnout. But we, you know, I'm not in the projection game here, Jane. It is what it is. We know that 260,000 votes, 262,000 votes that came in by vote by mail was a significant increase over the previous record, which was 95,000 for early and mail votes. So, everything is in place for a good turnout. And what we heard around the state was that there was strong, consistent, steady turnout today, and we'll see how that all fares at the end of the day.
Did you hear anything today from any town clerks or any voters about voter intimidation or significant problems with voting?
We had a couple of instances. I mean, I heard from one person in one town that had said that somebody had a truck with a Trump banner, was sitting in a parking space near the polls, and everybody had to drive by it. And I said, well, I said, point of fact, I said, most candidates do the same thing. So that's not intimidation from that standpoint. I think it really is in the eyes of the beholder, but we have worked very closely with TJ Donovan and his team, with the state's attorneys, with the state police, with U.S. attorney, with the FBI, to set up a dashboard, if you want to call it, that we could communicate so that everybody would know what was happening where. And it worked flawlessly today. We didn't see anything that was out of the ordinary, and we're very pleased with how this went. You know, Vermonters are civil, and they acted civilly today.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. I'm sure we'll hear more from you in the coming days. Jim Kondos is Vermont's Secretary of State. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Bob.
And Bob, you know, it's always an exciting night for people who care about politics, who watch politics. For some people, it may be a devastating night. And for others, it's going to be a joyful night. And for some, it may be a mix. I think a lot of Americans and perhaps a lot of Vermonters are feeling anxious no matter what the results say tonight. For some Vermonters, you know, there are some results that will feel better than others, but the anxiety around COVID-19, around the state of the country, is going to continue no matter who wins these races.
And I think you're right, Jane, that people do feel a lot of anxiety, and they feel that this country is maybe more divided now than it has been in a long, long time. And there's a sense, I think, that folks would like to get back to normalcy, certainly with the pandemic, and maybe perhaps on the presidential level as well. So there's that sense of tension, anxiety. How is this all going to turn out? It's kind of up for grabs. That I think a lot of voters are feeling very strongly about this evening.
Well, stay with us this evening as we continue our coverage here on VPR. Bob and I are going to end this hour-long special Vermont edition now and switch to a mix of national and local coverage. So you're going to be hearing national results coming in from NPR throughout the night as we continue to look at what's happening around the country with competitive elections and certainly with the presidency. And Bob and I will be back several times an hour to update you on Vermont results. We're starting to see results come in already for some of the legislative races in Vermont, and we will continue to update you on the results that are coming in for statewide races. Again, at this hour, we already know that Vermont has been called for Joe Biden, and Peter Welch has been called as the winner in the U.S. Congress race, the lone seat in the House of Representatives for Vermont. Bob, this isn't goodbye. We'll continue to talk. Thanks for sharing the stage with me on this show tonight, as usual.
It's always my pleasure, Jane.